In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is in our sorrow.
Sometimes you have to be very careful of what you pray for. For God may very well answer your prayer, and you might be forced to learn some things about yourself that might make you feel very uncomfortable. This very thing happened to me not more than a week ago. Saturday, a week ago, before Vespers, I got here early. There wasn't anybody in the church at the time. And I went around and I venerated the icons, and I ended up over here before the cross of the Lord. And I got to thinking at the time, and it was a strange thought, of how I missed being able to prostrate. I've come a long way physically in the last year and a half or so, but I'm still not able to do prostrations. Maybe in my gym clothes I might be able to get down and back up, but not fully dressed and wearing a cassock. And I was feeling kind of sad about that. And at the time I was thinking about that, all of a sudden I got another feeling of great unworthiness when I got to thinking about what it is meant for a priest to stand before the altar of God. And I was feeling incredibly unworthy to be able to stand before the altar of God. And so I asked God. Matter of fact, I even put my arms around the cross there. And I asked God to show me what I needed to do to be a better Christian. Indeed, I asked him, I begged him to show me what I needed to be a better priest. Then I went over and sat in the corner there. And it wasn't 2, 3, 4 minutes later that Father Alex walked out of the altar there. And he came over and asked me to do the sermon today. And God has answered that prayer every single day of this past week as I was praying and meditating on this gospel and reading what the fathers of the church had to say concerning the passage that we just read. And what I learned is that I have an awful long way to go before I even begin to take what could be considered baby steps in the true Christian way of life according to what this gospel just said today about fulfilling the commandments, the basic commandments of Christ. I remember a long time ago hearing once of a saint. I looked it up all this week. I couldn't find it, but I do remember that I think it was one of the desert fathers. It might have been St. Sisyphus, who said right before he died, he was the one who said that he prayed that he could have more time to repent. But somewhere else I think he said that when he was examining objectively and honestly the actions of his life, he said, as someone who claimed to follow Christ, he says, I can only come honestly to two conclusions. One, that I do not love God. Two, because I do not love my neighbor. And when I begin to examine my own life and my life in light of today's gospel, if I'm honest with myself, and I think if most of us are honest with ourselves, we might conclude much the same thing. Today's gospel is St. Luke's version of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is found mostly in a longer version in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And St. Luke's Gospel is a shorter version of that. It's sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain instead of the Sermon on the Mount, because in St. Luke's Gospel, it said earlier in chapter 6 that the Lord had spent the night on top of a mountain an entire night in deep prayer with the Father, and that he came down from the mountain onto a plain, onto a level path, it says, and he lifted up his eyes to before his disciples, who were obviously higher than him at the time, and he began the message of what our Archbishop Demetri used to call the message of the kingdom of God. And that message is that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto us in the presence of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to tell us in this Sermon on the Mount that if you desire to become a member of this kingdom, a citizen of the kingdom of God, well, here's what you must be like. You have to be poor in spirit. In St. Luke's Gospel, he just says you have to be poor. You have to be hungry for righteousness, St. Matthew says. In St. Luke's Gospel, it just says you've got to be hungry. You have to weep for those who suffer. You have to be meek and a peacemaker. And you have to be reviled. You will be reviled for your beliefs if you are truly living as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And why will you be going through all this? Why would you even want to go through all this and be that way? Because you will know, as we just got through singing in the Beatitudes, that your reward is great in heaven. Then the Lord goes on to require things of us that seem totally opposite of what our nature, our natural abilities are. Love your enemies, he says. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. Turn the other cheek when you are slapped. If someone takes your cloak, then give him your coat as well. Give to those who ask of you. And if someone steals something from you, don't bother asking for it back. All these things are totally against our very nature. All you have to do is look at a bunch of little kids, little toddlers even, two-year-olds playing together, and you will see that's against our nature. You take away, you see a bunch of toddlers together, you take their favorite toy away from them, what's going to happen? He's going to do one of two things. He's going to go tattle on the person that took it away, or if he's more aggressive, he's going to go grab a thing and take it right back. You've seen that. If you push a little kid around, he's going to do one of two things. He's either going to go crying to his mommy, or else if he's more aggressive, he's going to go and he's going to push them right back. You see it all the time. That's our nature. Even before we know good or evil, that is our nature. It is against every fiber of our being to turn the other cheek when someone slaps us in the face. It's against our fiber to go and love our enemies. Just think about how we all felt when those towers fell back on 9/11. Every one of us, if we didn't say it out loud, we were thinking, vengeance is mine. And our president at the time was echoing what he said, what we were all thinking when he said, well, you have awakened a sleeping dog, and we are going to find justice for our fallen comrades. Yet our Lord tells us that those in his kingdom will do just the opposite. We will love even those that hate us. And where our gospel begins today, St. Luke gives us his shorter version of what has become known to us as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's a sort of a natural law. You find that in all religions. You find that in Hinduism and Buddhism. You find it in Islam. Do unto others. But the Lord then goes on to show us that a follower of his, someone who calls themselves by his name, a citizen of his kingdom, will do more than just follow the golden rule. In today's gospel, he says, if you love only those who love you, so what? Sinners do that. If you do good to those who will return and do good to you, so what? They do that in prison. You wash my back, I'll wash yours. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If you lend to those who are able to repay you, so what? Loan sharks do that. But you, my followers, Jesus says, those who dare to call themselves by not my name, and those who dare, as we say right before the Lord's Prayer, who dare to call upon God as Father, you will love your enemies. You will do good to all. You will lend not expecting repayment. Because, as he says in the gospel today, your reward will be great, not here, but in heaven. Because you will be imitating Christ, who is kind both to the unthankful and to the evil. And then he ends the gospel today by saying, be merciful, for your Father in heaven is merciful. In St. Matthew's version of this Sermon on the Mount, he ends that by saying, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And in the two remaining verses right after our gospel today, which we didn't read, he goes on to say, judge not, lest you shall be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. And you will receive not only what you gave back, but you will receive even more. And he talks about it like a flour sack where the merchant pours flour in and not only puts it on the scales, but pats it down and keeps pouring more on till it overflows. That is what it means to be a citizen of Christ's kingdom. I read that and I go, phew, I don't see me. I don't see me in that. As a matter of fact, I see just the opposite most of the time. I call myself a follower of Christ, but not only do I fail to keep 9 out of 10 of those commandments there, but most of the time I don't even try. And I think that might be true of most of us as well. And the Lord says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. St. John Chrysostom says, what then can we deserve who are commanded to emulate God and are rather more in a way not even equal to the publicans? For if to love those that love us is the way of the publicans and sinners and heathens, he says, when we don't even do that, and we don't do that, he says, as long as we envy our brethren, what penalty shall we not incur, he says, being told to surpass the scribes and the Pharisees, but being below the heathens? How then, he says, shall we behold the kingdom when we do not even surpass that which the publicans do? My brothers and sisters, I heard a question once. I don't remember where I heard it, but somebody said that if you were put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And when we look at our own lives, especially in the light of our gospel today, and when I look at my own life, I think that maybe the best I can hope for is a hung jury. So what do we do about it? Do we just give up, throw in the towel, and say, well, this is impossible to do? No. First thing, I think maybe we can do three things. The first thing we can do is what our Archbishop Demetri used to say to all his newly tonsured readers. Read that Bible every day. I heard him tonsure readers a bunch of times, and he said that exact phrase. Read that Bible every day. Because how else are we going to know what God expects of us unless we read what is essentially the owner's manual, the instruction manual. Elder Vincent of Secu Monastery in Romania, he was a Romanian elder who died sometime in the 80s or 90s, I believe. He said that nothing is sadder, nothing could be more sad than somebody who is able to read and who owns and possesses a Bible, who leaves it on the shelf to collect dust and doesn't open it up and try to put those words into effect in his life. So the first thing we got to do is read the Gospels, read the Holy Scriptures, and try to put them into practice as best as we can. The second, pray. Pray faithfully. If we are honest with ourselves, and that's what this whole week has been for me as I've been trying to prepare this sermon and try to put something into effect in my own life, if I am honest and look at the amount of time that I actually sit down and pray and talk to God, it's sad. It's very sad. And it's hypocritical as well. When we look at all the other things we do in our, quote, so-called free time, if I claim to love Christ, I'm going to want to spend time with Him. Think about your teenagers when they first fall in love and you try to get the phone. Or back in our days, I don't know if they talk on the phone anymore. I think they just do it with their thumbs. But back when I was young, you know, I remember my parents, get off the phone! Get off the phone, please, you know. And we'd be sitting there talking, you hang up. No, you hang up. And it would just go on forever because we wanted to spend time with the one that we love. And we have to do the same thing with Christ. And we do that by praying. Praying at home, praying in the car, praying in church, taking advantage of the sacraments, the holy mysteries, confession, and especially worthily receiving the Holy Communion. Because all those things that the Lord had been talking about in the Gospel and the Sermon on the Mount, they are impossible for us to do. They are so contrary to our nature that we cannot do them on our own unless we be transformed and open ourselves up to grace. And the way we do that is by reading the Scriptures, saying our prayers, receiving the sacraments, and opening up our heart to Christ. That is why the priest, right before the consecration, lifts his hands up and he prays in the words of the holy prophet and King David from Psalm 50. Create, right before the consecration, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Because what I'm about to do is not possible on my own and with my own hardened heart. It has to be softened and made whole by loving you. The third thing we can do is to practice compassion and love towards our neighbor. St. Ambrose of Optina says that the best way to show love for God, indeed he said the only way to show love for God, is to show compassion on your neighbor, especially for the least among you, and especially for the one who is the most unlovable. He says that the love of God is proven by love and mercy towards your neighbor. All these teachings that the Lord gave us in the Sermon on the Mount, they are very difficult for us. Indeed, they are impossible for us. But, as he said to us later, that all things are possible to God. And if we listen to St. Paul, who in the epistle to the 2 Corinthians today says to us, if we become a temple for the body of Christ, a temple for the Spirit of God, then all things which are impossible for us will become possible. It is time for us, especially for those of us who are call ourselves Orthodox Christians, to begin to live and act as though we were truly followers of Christ. We need to live like we have truly claimed to live when we were baptized, when we three times said, yes, I have united myself to Christ. And we need to put into practice the words that we sing all throughout the Paschal time when we say, let us call brothers, even those that hate us, and forgive all by the resurrection. Why wait to start putting these things in practice? St. Basil says to us, St. Basil the Great, he says, oh, how much longer will we hold back from obeying Christ, who calls us to his heavenly kingdom? Are we not going to purify ourselves, he says? Won't we firmly and finally decide to forsake our customary and former way of life so as to follow the gospel of Christ to the end? Because, my brothers and sisters, we are going to be tried one day, and we are going to be accused of being a Christian. And may the evidence prove, my brothers and sisters, that we will be found guilty, guilty as charged. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Glory.